The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Season 4 of The Agile Brand with Greg Kilstrom, where we discuss business agility through customer experience, employee experience, and digital transformation. I'm your host, Greg Kilstrom. The Agile World podcast is brought to you by Tech Systems, an industry leader in full-stack technology services, talent services, and real-world application. For more information, go to techsystems.com. To read more about the topics discussed on this show, you can go to my website at gregkilstrom.com and read my latest articles or get a copy of my latest book, Meaningful Measurement of the Customer Experience, now available on Amazon and other retailers. My name is Greg Kilstrom, and I'm the host of the Agile Brand Podcast. Today, we're going to talk about unifying sales teams and bringing people, processes, and platforms together to achieve a common goal. To help me discuss this topic, I'd like to welcome Susan Rothwell, CRO at Veracast. Susan, welcome to the show.
Hi, Greg. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Yeah, looking forward to talking with you about this. So why don't we start by you giving a little background on yourself, as well as your role at Veracast.
Sure. So how about if I first talk a little bit about Veracast, and then I'll talk about the role, because everybody doesn't know who we are and what we do. But, you know, Veracast has been around for a long time. As different companies, we've united under one brand called Veracast. So that's kind of what we'll be talking about today. But we're a leading marketing solutions company. And what we do is we help a lot of different types of companies, you know, find their customers with our print and digital solutions. And we usually use a lot of analytics and data. So we engage with grocers, we engage with consumer packaged goods, retail, restaurants, the financial institutions, and we really help them kind of understand like the consumer behavior and basically use our data and analytics to help connect them and then our different products to help actually activate them. So, you know, it's been pretty active, you know, over the past 2 years since consumer behavior has changed dramatically. And so, you know, it's been an interesting journey for sure in being able to use our analytics and data and portfolio products to help our customers. So me personally, I've been with the company for 15 years, been in sales my entire career, started as a director, and now lead the entire Veracast organization, which originally consisted of different companies, which was at NCH, which is a coupon clearinghouse and data company, Harlan Clark, which is a financial institution and checking solutions, and Velasis, which is a marketing services and digital media company as well. And they're all now under the one brand, which is called Veracast.
Well, so last year, as you mentioned, you know, you helped lead the company through a reorganization that aligned these businesses under a brand. And with this reorganization came the need to take all the siloed sales teams and unite them as well. So let's dive into that a little bit more. Why did you make this decision with the teams at Veracast, and what was the impact to those formerly siloed sales teams?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting, you know, to go through what I like to call is an evolution or transformation, right? I mean, we felt that as an organization, having one brand was really going to help us, you know, leverage our customer relationships as well as all of the different solutions that sat in the different siloed parts of the organization. So, you know, the first step was making sure that, you know, the team, not just my sales organization, but also the company kind of understood what, you know, what that mission was, why we were doing it, and what the benefits to it were, right, to the company and to the organization. And you know, that's a really heavy lift when you try to do that, right, because people are so used to their worlds. But I think when you then kind of put that strategy and focus out there, I think the key to success whenever you're doing any type of realignment or any type of reorganization is really, to me, two things, right? First of all, you know, really making sure you have not just the strategy, but the data and the analytics and kind of, you know, the trends and things to really understand, you know, based in data, why you're doing something. And number two, make sure you're engaging people to be a part of the journey and helping lead through the journey, right? And because that's so important, because that allows people to create ownership. It also, you know, gives you from a leadership perspective an opportunity to really hear a lot of great thoughts and ideas, and I think give you a much better perspective on how you need to align, how you need to lead through it, and understanding, you know, your teams have a lot of great ideas and experience that just make that transition a lot easier.
Can you give an example of how you use data and business intelligence in, you know, in enabling what you were just kind of describing?
Yeah, you know, I've actually just went through an exercise last week. It's a practice that continues to evolve. One of the things that I let my teams know is that we will constantly be evolving as a sales organization. Businesses change. The way people engage businesses change. People at your accounts change. So you need to be constantly making sure you understand where the industry or the business is and how we should be aligning to that. So, you know, evolution in how we're organized, as long as I'm leading the team, will always be a best practice. It's something that we look at all the time and not something that people should be afraid of, but should lean into. So we were looking at one of the teams last week, and we were using different pieces of data to lead the conversation. And those pieces included internal data. So we were looking at sales performance, right? How much revenue was a seller doing? How many sales calls? Were there sales activities in you know, accounts? At what level were they reaching? Were they in the C-suite in the accounts, right? Like, what was the hierarchy of there? So we look kind of, you know, what was the customer buying from us with different product lines? You know, have their revenue increased or decreased? So we're kind of looking at that internal piece of it. Then what we did was we appended some, you know, information about the client. You know, were they experiencing changes in their business? Were they opening locations? Were they adding new products or services or things like that? Was there changes in leadership? You know, what was some of their strategies they were focused on? And then the final thing was, perhaps, is there something going on, you know, in the industry, right, that could be driving, you know, changes into that business? And we accumulate all this data, and then what we do is we weigh it, right? We give weights to the data. And what ends up happening is, you know, out of this exercise, which was a little bit of a different experience for us in how we use the data, you know, we ended up looking at our top 200 accounts in one of the segments and realized that we have what we were called hidden gems, right? They were accounts that we weren't really focused on as a key growth account. But when we looked at all that data and the way we weighed it, it was popping to the top, right? And so it ended up, you know, creating a strategy to say, you know, here we have, you know, 20 of these accounts that really look like they're potentially in growth mode, and we're not really aligned, you know, from a sales and service perspective to treat them that way and you know, engage them that way. So that's just an example of, you know, just last week how, you know, we used business intelligence and data to look at our business and perhaps make some different decisions about how we're engaging our customers.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And that's a great example of how to use that to make some positive change in the organization. What about from the customer perspective? I mean, I could draw some assumptions from that as well that would be positives, but, you know, how do you think your customers benefit from this approach to data and business intelligence and really just aligning sales teams?
Yeah, so I think there's a couple things. From the data and intelligence that we provide as an organization to our clients, it's been really critical over really through the pandemic in the past 2 years, more so than ever, right? The customer journey has changed. You know, I'll take an example from a restaurant, right? They're one of a key vertical that we engage with. And, you know, they don't know on a given day, Greg, right? How are you going to engage one of your favorite restaurants, right? Are you going to go in and have lunch? Or are you going to, you know, call in and pick up your order? Or are you going to have it delivered, right? So on any given day, their engagement with you as a customer potentially can change. And so that can be very challenging, you know, for them to understand how do they actually engage a customer like you, right? Who's changing their minds. So we use some of our intelligence and our data from that perspective to help our customers, right? And tell them how they should be engaging, how you would respond, what's the best way to engage a customer that would be switching channels, for example, like you would. So that's one example. Another example is that, you know, we ask our customers, right? The very first time we started to talk about even really becoming one organization and combining and integrating the company, it came from one of our largest customers who was telling us that there were too many engagement points from a sales perspective. We had too many people calling on them at different areas, and there wasn't just one point of contact, and it didn't allow them to have opportunities to have a master service agreement and engage us in a much more fluid way. And that was really kind of the spark, one of the sparks that said, hey, you know, we need to be easier to work with, and we need to be able to offer our customers more. So I think that was a real positive. You know, I think one of the things that our customers are trying to understand is, you know, we were these four siloed organizations, and now we're one company, and what is Veracast, right? And in the rebranding and in the evolution of the company, really bringing forward not so much just our products, which, you know, were a display ad or a mail insert or direct mail or a check program or something like that, but really engaging us at that much higher level of data and intelligence and using our technology and our platforms. So I think that's where we have some work to do, just to really change that perspective and leverage that and really help our customers more along those lines instead of just a product focused organization.
And so let's talk a little bit about the internal part of that a little bit more. You know, I mentioned we were going to talk about the people, process, and platforms and how those things work together. So, you know, combining siloed teams makes a lot of sense to do, though, you know, sometimes in practice, there's some team members that might be resistant to change, perhaps, or, you know, even if they understand the basic reasons why some of these things need to happen. So, you know, in your work and your alignment, how did you go about ensuring that the people part of the change happened successfully? And, you know, maybe what would some advice be that you'd give to other leaders that are about to embark on similar initiatives?
Yeah, I think, you know, as I said, I think change is really just has to become part of your culture, right? And I'm really trying to drive that type of engagement with the sales team and the cross-functional teams as well. You know, I think it comes with a couple of things. You really need to have alignment across the organization. You know, whenever there's change, it's not usually just within one segment, say sales. It'll affect, you know, client services, or it could affect marketing and things like that. So whenever you're looking at like a change in a go-to-market strategy, you need to make sure there's alignment, you know, across the entire organization. And again, like I said in the beginning, that everybody kind of understands, you know, the short-term strategy and then where we're trying to evolve to, right? Because normally, you know, reason why you change is to stay current, but also to evolve into something else, which is more aligned to what customers want. So having some real clear understanding and really communicating, that's key. The biggest key though is really having, you know, involvement of many levels of the organization, you know, people in the room while the decisions are being made, the conversations are happening, having a voice, you know, in the discussion as we're aligning, so that, you know, again, we're making sure that We have a very balanced approach. We have a lot of different voices in the decision-making process of actually how we're going to do this and why. And it's really important, not only at my next level, but the leadership, but the leadership levels even below that, because they're really the ones that have to implement and take this organizational change, to the sellers, right? So, really having a lot of discussion and a lot of involvement and empowerment, right, of those teams is important in the change. And also to realize that, you know what, we might not get it 100% right. Most likely we are not. So, we will make a decision. We will move forward with a decision. And for some reason, if it's not the right decision, it's okay to change course and make a change, right? We can't be afraid to evolve. And if we make a mistake, think we can't fix it, we can always fix it, right? We can always reverse if we have to. So I think just having some of those fundamentals, I think, so an example of that is, we were one of the teams we were going to integrate. It was right after the pandemic hit, and there was a lot of disruption to the business. And we were working through a lot of things, and we were on this road to integration. I mean, we had it all mapped out. We were going to put teams together, and we decided that, one of the leaders said to me, "I just don't know if this is a good idea to do this right now. It's rather distracting. We've got enough on our plate." And I thought about it for a couple of days, and I went back to him and I said, "Yeah, you're right. We shouldn't do this right now. Let's move it off to the end of the year. We'll reevaluate it. But, this isn't probably the time to implement this change." So, I think there needs to be some agility, right, in this process. And I think when people see that, it's and know that they have a voice, that if something's not right, we'll fix it. They have an opportunity to, relax a little bit about the fact that this change is coming. I also think, though, one of the really important things is, even though we are under one Veracast, and I do have different business units or sales teams that roll up into that, you do need to keep some of the culture and identity of those teams, because they all work a little bit differently. They have different nuances about the way they go to market. And I always say we want to take the best of the best and mash it all together and put it across the organization. But you also want to make sure that you maintain some of the uniqueness that makes those teams really experts and good at what they do, and not mess that up as well. And so there's got to be a balance of pulling it all together, as well as, keeping some of that sense of their own culture and their own missions.
Yeah, no, I love what you're talking about here. And I mean, definitely, you're on the right show to talk about agility. So definitely agree that it's a culture of experimentation that, I love that you mentioned that you're not always going to get it right, all the time, but you're not going to get it so wrong that you can't fix it and improve and iterate and stuff like that. And even if you feel like it's going well, you might not be doing as well as you could be. And so there's reasons to experiment, whether things are going good or bad, so to speak. What role does data play in this? You talked about not wanting to undo, good cultures that are parts of teams, and, yet aligning teams a little bit, more together. How do you factor in the data part of that as well, where, a team may be working well from a people and process perspective, but, as they would say, the numbers don't lie. So, how do you work that numbers discussion in and still kind of maintain those great things that you already mentioned?
Yeah, well, so I think, obviously, we're in sales, so it's always about measuring everything, right? Yeah. for sure, we measure everything. But I think where, if I understand your question right, like where the data kind of meshes together is, when we look at some of that, the business analytics and the business intelligence that we have, where are there opportunities as one Veracast, as one organization, for us to leverage the different business units and really give people some opportunity when we do that, right? So, for example, we have We have like a lot of retailers that are part of our customer base, and you know, how can you know, we use some of our retailers sit in our financial team and some of the retailers sit in our retail team. And so we've brought together what we call business teams, customer business teams, where there's like seven or eight customers that, you know, the different parts of our businesses touch. And they sit still within their own organizations, but we use the data from the different sales teams to kind of just see how can we continually push and get the customer to, you know, adopt more of our solutions and more of our data. So there's ways to use it in a siloed way, but also bring it together, you know, into kind of a one unified organization, because there are still sales teams that call, you know, on clients in different areas. So one might call from a financial institution area, one might call from a marketing area, one might call, you know, from a procurement area, right? So there's ways to leverage that, you know, across one Veracast within the different sales silos as well.
You've mentioned several different metrics of success, but I'm wondering if there are beyond revenue and specific sales targets, how do you measure come to understand that a team is aligned or that multiple teams are aligned? Like what kind of measures of success do you have to just make sure that things are moving in that right direction?
Yeah, we have different dashboards that we look at from a sales enablement perspective, right? And the reason why I say they're different is because the teams still are, you know, within their organizations. I don't think that they all are doing the same things and need to be measured the same way. So there's different characteristics of, sales success that we're measuring by team that we look at. And those, you know, those include your basic sales metrics, right? But some of them are different. Like, so if we have a new business team, you know, they're going to be measured a little differently than maybe a seller that's got a base business. And we're looking at, you know, retention and growth within current businesses versus, you know, new logo activity and things like that. But from an overall company perspective, and this is where I was talking about, you know, making sure that you have cross-functional, what I call cross-functional alignment. You know, we have, we've got a plan this year, and the plan is very specific in certain things that we're trying to do, from, you know, launching new products, increasing our technology, retaining our current customer base, growing that base, new logos. And we have a KPI scorecard that we keep that really, you know, holds everybody accountable, you know, not just the sales organization, but are the other teams, you know, doing what they need to do to make sure that this plan that we have, this go-to-market plan, you know, is executing on time, is hitting the milestones we need to hit in order to ultimately, you know, hit the profit and the revenue goals.
One last question before we wrap up here. As you've inferred a few times, there's been a lot of change in a lot of industries over the last many months here. For other sales leaders that may be in similar or, you know, similar enough roles, what's a piece of advice that you would have for them as they navigate the months ahead? Like, what are some areas they should be focusing on now and may not be?
Well, I would definitely say, start if you're starting to think about, you know, an evolution or a transformation of your team or the company, you know, definitely start with data, business, and industry intelligence, right? If you start with that base data, you know, that gives you the foundation. Obviously, you can interpret it different ways, but I think it's a great foundation to start. That creates kind of the story that allows you to align the strategy. But I also think, more importantly, like, you need to make sure that you start to create a conversation and a culture that, you know, transformation and change is the constant evolution of the business. I mean, how do you stay relevant if you're not constantly trying to engage the business wherever it is at that time? And, you know, and you need to be proactive about it. I think it's really hard when you wish you would have done something, shoulda, woulda, coulda, right? And, you know, trying to be proactive and saying, you know, you know, taking that pause, looking at how the business is doing. Are your assumptions working? Are they not? And leaning into the change before you're kind of forced to it because the bottom's falling out or there's tons of pressure building up because you can make better decisions when that's not going on. And then ask for feedback, as I talked about before, from your team, from clients, you know, from cross-functional leaders, as you're starting to develop your thoughts, you know, and you don't have to have the plan baked, right? As you start to think about things, I always say, you got to roll things around in your head, you know, bounce those ideas off of people and get some feedback before you kind of start putting some of your ideas down and start to want to execute them.
Wonderful. Well, Susan, thanks so much for joining the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. For those listening, what's the best way for them to keep up with what you're doing?
You can find me on LinkedIn, that's for sure.
Well, again, I'd like to thank Susan Rothwell, CRO at Veracast, for joining the show. Thanks for listening to The Agile Brand with Greg Kilstrom. Talk with you next week.
Thanks again for listening to The Agile Brand with Greg Kilstrom podcast, brought to you by Tech Systems. If you enjoyed the show, please take a minute to subscribe on your podcast channel of choice and leave us a rating so that others can find the show more easily. You can access more episodes of the show at www.theagilebrand.show. To get a copy of my latest book, Meaningful Measurement of the Customer Experience, visit my website at gregkilstrom.com. Until next week, stay agile.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.